We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for your support.
These couples to become the true couples and to build the true families so that they can become the true ancestors of humankind from this point on.
Sun Myung-moon was a multi-billionaire who was a self-proclaimed messiah who claimed that Jesus failed his mission and that he was the greatest person in human history.
I dedicate these all the couples of the world to you.
Well, that's Sun Myung-moon speaking through an interpreter at a mass wedding in 2001 in New York. And Stephen Hassan, who's a former member of Moon's Unification Church, Sun Myung-moon died very early Monday in South Korea, claimed to be the successor, the reincarnation, the what? Of Jesus Christ. He did have his followers, although his church had waned in recent decades. He was famous for his mass weddings that had a great importance in Moon's theology. We're going to be talking about the life and the death and the beliefs and the practices of Sun Myung-moon and his Unification Church. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 4th of September. Gretchen Pasentino-Coburn will be our guest for the first few minutes of the program. Then Pastor Farooq Khan will join us. We'll talk about a Pakistani girl that has been charged with blasphemy for allegedly burning a Quran, and the story continues to unfold. We'll hear the story, and we'll find out what Pastor Khan has to say about it. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse joins us in the second hour of the program. There was a recent column that's making its rounds on the internet titled, I Wish My Mother Had Aborted Me. And the writer of this column is pretty adamant, does not like hearing from survivors of abortion, and ends her column saying, yes, I wish my mother had aborted me. We'll see what Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse has to say. Pastor Tom Baker joins us to round off hour two of Issues Etc. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with him today, the 12 spies that go into Canaan, and we're there in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours of the program. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. You can send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Gretchen Pasentino-Coburn is a regular guest. She's co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. Gretchen, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Todd. Always good to talk to you and your listeners, especially about important issues of faith.
With the death of Sun Myung-moon, what do his followers believe has happened? Who do they believe has died? What do they believe it means? What do they think comes next?
Well, you know, they talk about him ascending. They talk about him completing the journey. They're not real happy to use the terms death or deceased or, you know, he has died. But they believe that he is what they call the Lord of the Second Advent, the second coming of the Messiah. They believe that God accomplished part of human redemption in Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection for our sins. But Jesus failed to complete our full redemption because he didn't marry and form the perfect family with his wife and their physical and spiritual offspring. That's left to Sun Myung-moon, this man who was born in North Korea, who married a South Korean woman. She was his second wife, whom he calls the true mother, as he is the true father. They have 11 living children, I think 14 children altogether, and thousands, some say millions, of quote-unquote spiritual children worldwide. Their followers who have been married with his special spiritual blessings, so that Moon, his family, his church are the complete redemption of God. They are the new humanity.
So what do they believe the first Jesus Christ did, if there was something for the Reverend Moon to complete here?
actually, unification theology is not very clear on that. There's a huge theology book called The Divine Principle that was written by Moon very early in his career. But as large as it is, it's somewhat confusing, somewhat cryptic, and they don't have a very solid, good foundation for Jesus's mission. They do believe that he was obedient to God. They do believe he was called by God, that in his life he was redeeming humanity or living the life that Adam should have lived, except that Adam fell into sin, and that his life and death in some way redeemed us from being trapped in that fallen humanity that we've inherited from Adam, but it does not complete our salvation. That redemption is through the true father, the true mother, Moon and his wife, and their true family, the physical and spiritual people they have brought into this marriage blessing for the perfect family. And it is their activities, including works, including raising funds, including preaching the word of unificationism, that's how humanity will be redeemed, not by the final work of Jesus Christ on the cross.
So is it that they believe that by having these marriages that sound like more than marriages, I mean, they sound like almost some sort of unification church sacrament, and
yes,
then having children, are they talking about a kingdom of God here and now?
Yes, they believe that as they grow, their influence grows, as their physical children and their spiritual children, because any follower in the Unification Church who is married in one of these special spiritual blessing ceremonies by Moon and his wife, they become children also, even though they're not flesh descendants of Moon himself, and their children also become part of the true family. So it's a combination of physical reproduction and spiritual reproduction by which they believe humanity and therefore all of God's creation will eventually be redeemed. It's not complete in Jesus.
How would you describe kind of the scope of Moon, his followers, his Unification Church?
In some ways, it's very, very small. The Unification Church, its followers sometimes derisively called Moonies. You know, you Google them, you'll come up with more joke and parody and making fun of than anything else, or broad claims of extreme brainwashing and kidnapping and abuse of new disciples. The Unification Church itself claims 3 million followers worldwide, but that number probably is much tinier than that, maybe 100,000 people worldwide who are devoted followers. Because their religion is so distinct from traditional Christianity, it's very difficult for there to be long-term strong members. Sometimes young people who are floundering spiritually will join it, but within 5 to 10 years, the vast majority of them leave. However, the Unification Church has a lot of money, a lot of business, a lot of political and journalistic visibility so that they can be much more powerful than numbers would suggest. For example, they own the Washington Times, which is a very good, very outstanding, objective newspaper in Washington, D.C. They own United Press International, which is a news service that journalists all over the world from all different stripes, mainstream media, you know, online, cable, whatever, use for news sources. And they have so many other businesses in the billions of dollars that they have a much greater impact politically and business-wise than they do religiously. And yet, it is the religion that motivates both the politics and the business, and so it is the religious values that are being promoted through that.
So, do they believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, incarnate in human flesh?
They don't have very clear teaching on that either. They could not subscribe to the basic foundational creeds of historic traditional biblical Christianity. Sometimes it seems as though they think that Jesus was the Son of God because he was chosen by God and because he obeyed that calling, as Adam did before the fall, as Abraham and Sarah did before the fall, as Moon and his wife have done. Sometimes they do talk about Christ's pre-existence, his equality with God, but they don't have a clear understanding of the Trinity. And because they've been accused of saying that Reverend Moon himself is God, and they say, oh, no, he's not God. He's just God's Messiah. He's just been called by God. He's the Lord of the Second Advent. Oh, then he's like Jesus. You mean Jesus isn't God? And then they backtrack. So it is a confused teaching. But whatever it is not the clear teaching of the Bible and of the foundational creeds of the Christian Church, by which we've always said, you subscribe to this, these foundational teachings of the Bible, and you're Christian. You don't, and you're not.
So would you say that Moon, does he claim to be Jesus Christ reincarnate or just another Messiah?
He claims to be another Messiah. At some point in his life, he had the same standing as Jesus, but because the Jewish leadership rejected Jesus and crucified him, Jesus failed to complete redemption by marrying and having physical and spiritual children to reproduce the new family. Moon now has done that with his wife and his physical and spiritual children. So without them directly coming out and saying it, Reverend Moon actually is better than Jesus. He's not just another. He's the one who actually didn't fall, as Abraham and Sarah did, and didn't die before he could marry and accomplish full redemption. Like Jesus, he did it all. He really is the best of all of God's called and anointed people.
Gretchen Pasentino-Coburn is our guest. She's co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. We're talking about the beliefs and practices of the Unification Church following upon the death of its founder, the Reverend Sung Young Moon. He died, I guess, this weekend or early Monday in South Korea. And we'll talk more with her on the other side of the break. I invite your questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time. talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at Issues ETC. About another 10 minutes with Gretchen, and then Pastor Farouk Khan will join us from People of the Book Lutheran Outreach. We'll be talking to him about a Pakistani girl charged with blasphemy for allegedly burning a copy of the Quran.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Well, Welcome back to Issues Etc. Gretchen Pasentino Coburn is our guest from Answers in Action. We're talking about the beliefs and practices of the Unification Church. You said earlier in our conversation, Gretchen, that Moon taught that there was kingdom of God is inaugurated by begetting both physical and spiritual children. The physical part is rather self-explanatory. How is it that, or is there any detail as to how people become spiritual children? I assume Moon's spiritual children.
Yes, they become Moon's spiritual children, Moon and his wife's spiritual children, through first becoming Unification Church members. And Christianity, where the gospel is clearly and openly taught, and you know right up front, the only thing to do to be saved is to surrender to God's power and the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. In the Unification Church, the teachings and the requirements for discipleship and membership are very, very secretive. You find out a little bit at a time at evening meetings, at weekend seminars, at retreats, and as you're drawn more and more and more into the organization, you're given more and more knowledge. Eventually, you find out that Moon is the Lord of the Second Advent, the Second Coming of the Messiah, the True Father, the Parent of Human Redemption. And you usually have donated all of your assets to the organization, and either you run your business with the profits going to the Unification Church, or you actually work for the Unification Church in one of their businesses or in one of their religious enterprises. And then you are paired up with someone that God reveals to the Unification Church leadership is to be your true spouse. You may know this person beforehand. If you're married when you join the Unification Church, that marriage may or may not have any relevancy to your future family life and your future spouse. But once your spouse has been chosen, then one of the periodic mass public weddings that the Unification Church holds, you're assigned to that with your chosen spouse. And in that wedding, you are sealed to Moon and his wife, to the true family, and to God's redeemed humanity. Then your obligation is to serve the church the rest of your life, and you and your spouse, maybe you are just meeting him or her that day at the wedding ceremony where there are thousands of couples in attendance. Have your own children, and you recruit new members to the Unification Church, and that's how the redeemed family, the true family, spreads and increases.
What is their authority? You mentioned some writing before, but what is their source of authority? How do they regard the Bible?
Their ultimate source of authority is the actual proclamations, oral speaking of Sun Myung Moon. And now it would be the written speaking, you know, since he's just died yesterday. They hold other religious books in high esteem, but you know, the Bible is the very Word of God, the perfect Word of God, our only and ultimate source for God's revelation. So I'm not sure how highly you can hold it in esteem if it doesn't match up to Reverend Moon or to his compiled, transcribed, and published theology, which is called the Divine Principle. So really, he doesn't respect any other religious revelations except for his own. That's the same with his followers and with the structure of the church. Moon's word is God's word. Everything else is a poor imitation.
So what did they say about Christianity, about Orthodox Christianity?
Christianity has something right. God did speak in the Bible, and God did call people who are named and their stories are told in Scripture. God did call Jesus as one of his attempts to redeem humanity through the true Father and the true Mother. But Jesus failed to complete that redemption. He only lived a life of obedience. He didn't marry and start the family. That was left to Moon. Moon completed what Jesus failed.
Do they believe that since apparently Moon has succeeded where Jesus failed, as you said, that the Reverend Moon was sinless?
No, they don't really talk about, to them it's not a matter of humanity is fallen by disobedience to God, man is redeemed by Christ's obedience to God and our identification in him. It's not a matter of sin sinfulness, sinlessness, or redemption from sin. It's a matter of God's plan to form the perfect family to rule the perfect earth, and humanity's repeated failures to do that until it was started in Jesus and then completed in Moon. So the idea of are you sinless or don't sin very much or sin a lot is really kind of irrelevant. It's the true family that really matters.
One of the ways that Moon and the Unification Church gained notoriety back in the 70s was Moon was a rather ardent and persistent, along with his followers, supporter of President Nixon at the time, undergoing the kind of the long duration of the Watergate scandal. And apparently he was a rather outspoken, ardent supporter there and anti-communist. How does that fit into his worldview, Moon's worldview?
Yes, he does have three broad commitments: religion, politics, and business. And again, it goes back to his idea that God's plan was not eternal fellowship with creatures made in his image who willingly love him, but God's eternal plan was to create humans who would propagate and be the true family and rule over the earth. And he thinks that that redeemed humanity ruling over the earth is best expressed in democracy and capitalism. So he's a strong supporter of capitalism and a rejecter of communism, and he's a strong supporter of free enterprise, free marketness, and against socialism or other forms of what he would consider, you know, less divine business. So again, his politics and his business, yes, he's a capitalist and an anti-communist. He's a free market person and not a socialist, but both of those things are tied to his idea of the true family. It is his religious commitment that God's desire was to create a family that was that would rule the world, as kind of a playing out or a drama of God's nature.
Obviously, with that kind of financial holdings and business interests, I guess the natural question is, while the Reverend Moon is gone, and his financial empire obviously will continue, what about the Unification Church? Where does it go without him alive leading them?
Because there have been so many thousands of couples who have been joined to the true family through these spiritual wedding ceremonies, that probably will continue, and they have in recent years kind of scaled down their idea of an imminent overcoming of the fallen world through the true family, and it's become more of an incremental idea that probably will be carried on by his followers. His son, Young Jin Moon, who is 33, is the president of the church, and he will probably continue that theological plan. He's not called the Messiah or the Lord of the Second Advent. He's the son of the Lord of the Second Advent. He has another son, Kook Jin Moon, who's the head of the church's business enterprises and has proved to be very, very clever with that. Those two sons will probably continue the program in that way. The religious part will probably get smaller and smaller. As I said, the church itself claims that it has 3 million followers, but the truth is probably more like 100,000. That I don't do math in my head, but there's a huge difference between those two numbers. And it wouldn't be surprising if the religion would kind of die out, at least maybe in the next couple of generations. Most religions started around a charismatic personality don't last much after the death of the founder.
Why do people believe this? I mean, why would someone donate all their money and their holdings to essentially to this man, and then even if married otherwise, be joined together with someone they don't know in some sort of heavenly ceremony? Why do people buy this, Gretchen?
I wish there were a really easy answer and a pill we could prescribe, and, you know, just slip it into your daughters or your brothers or your cousins or your best friends. Coca-Cola, and they'd be okay. But it is a complex of reasons. Fundamentally, people are lost without Jesus Christ. And when people are lost without Jesus Christ, they look anywhere and everywhere for some sort of substitute. because of our sinfulness, we're drawn to things that look at our own effort as a way to try to recover that peace with God that we're missing. And so a religion that strongly emphasizes works, secret teachings, long periods of discipleship, and great sacrifice appeals to some people who are lost like that. But the really true answer for anybody who is drawn to the unification teachings or any other false teaching is that the work has all been done by Jesus Christ on the cross. There is nothing we can do to reconcile ourselves to God. He's done everything by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. When we respond to that call of the Holy Spirit in faith believing, it's all taken care of. It's all finished. You don't have to learn secret teachings. You don't have to sacrifice all of your possessions. You don't have to abandon one wife and be assigned a new wife. You trust in Jesus Christ, and he's done it all.
Gretchen, before we let you go, I understand you're something of a fan of Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World. What do you want to tell our listeners?
You know, if I weren't doing this interview right now, I'd probably be listening to Lutheran Public Radio. Those traditional hymns, that great theology, the beautiful music, it is just so inspiring whether I'm sitting at my computer working or just relaxing. Lutheran Public Radio is probably one of my most listened to of anything. No, I probably listen to my husband a little bit more, but Lutheran Public Radio is just outstanding. Last Sunday, I had to miss church for the first time in a month, and I was surprised at how impoverished I felt, how hungry I was for the Lord. And I listened to Lutheran Public Radio, and as the words of those hymns touched my heart, as my prayers rose up with them, there was good feeding from the Word of God through Lutheran Public Radio. Everybody ought to listen to it.
Folks, you can find out more about Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World. That's what Gretchen has to say. LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's 24/7, the church's music, Sacred Music for the World, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Gretchen Pasentino-Coburn is co-founder of Answers in Action based in Costa Mesa, California. You'll find Answers in Action, a link to Answers in Action, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thank you, Gretchen.
Thank you, and God bless you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Farooq Khan, a native of Pakistan. We're going to be talking about a Pakistani girl that has been charged with blasphemy for allegedly burning a copy of the Quran. We'll hear the story and get his reaction right after this.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Well, Justin has completed his summer work at Sylvan Learning Center in Edwardsville. His reading comprehension has improved more than 3 grade levels, and his vocabulary has increased almost an entire grade level. Sylvan Learning Center of Edwardsville has a 6-week back-to-school boot camp.
Their phone number, 618-656-0500. 618-656-0500. Emily has 4 weeks left at Sylvan. A report on her progress next time.